Afternoon, we continue in our spiritual growth afternoon series. As many of you know, out of the book of 2 Peter, all you need in Christ. We have all that we need in Christ to grow, to be firm in Jesus Christ and stand firm in this world. And we remember that Peter is writing as an older man when he writes this letter. We see this more clearly in the verses that we read today in 12 to 15. Our text today is, this seems to be in a way like a last will and testament, if you will, in some ways, for Peter, this book, 2 Peter, similar to Paul in 2 Timothy, when he is an older man and is in prison, says, I fought the good fight of the faith. It's not as distinct as that, but we can see this. And Peter seems to sense that the time of his death, we see in these verses, is coming soon. Most people believe he was martyred, being crucified upside down around A.D. 68. And Peter is writing this second letter to reaffirm these Christians we've seen who are struggling with false teaching. And this false teaching was trying to essentially take away the teeth, if you will, of the gospel message. It was a false gospel that had a denial about the truth of what the gospel should produce in our morality and the way that we live. They were living in loose living and loose morality, and they were living in denial of the return of Christ, saying, well, he hasn't come yet. Well, will he come? And they lost sight of the fact that the gospel and all we have in Christ matters greatly for how we live today. And our morals and how we live for Christ in holiness, and that we're to grow, that we're to mature, as we've seen. And so as one who stumbled in the past, Peter, but was firm in Christ as he went on and as he looked to his death and going on to be with the Lord, he had learned and he had matured in Christ. And so he's writing to these Christians to show them the true way of standing firm and growing in Christ. He wanted them to see that all they had, they had all of that in Jesus Christ. All they needed to grow, all they needed to stand firm to Christ and in Christ to the very end. So chapter 1, we've seen, he shows us the right way of what a Christian is all about. Chapter 1, he's doing that. This is what the Christian life is really supposed to be like. A life that's founded on Christ and grounded in Him, knowing all that we have in Him. And all of this is focused on His power, God's power and Christ's purposes and the precious promises of God Peter's told us about in Jesus Christ. And Peter said, this is from the very beginning in the early verses, he said, this is not just for the apostles, but for all of you as Christians. And Peter has shown us the foundation of the gospel in verses 1 to 3, that we have all we need for life and godliness through our knowledge of Jesus Christ. And then he has called us, we've seen the last number of weeks, to make use of this faith in Jesus Christ, to cultivate these Christ-like godly qualities, adding to our faith virtue or goodness, and to our goodness knowledge, and to knowledge self-control, and then growing perseverance in trials and godliness with a God awareness in all of life. And then ultimately growing to know and show the love of God, the sacrificial love of Jesus Christ. And no, we don't do anything to add to our salvation. But as Peter says, for this reason, because of all that we have in this gospel, we are to cooperate with Christ. We are to cultivate these qualities. We are to do all we can, be diligent to make our calling and election sure, and to grow in faith. Why? Because if we have them in increasing measure, Peter has told us, if these qualities, remember last week, have become the pattern of our life, if we're growing them in increasing measure, then there's going to be a true spiritual productivity and fruitfulness and impact that our lives, for one thing, are going to have. God will use our knowledge of Christ to change us and to impact those around us. But also, as we grow in these qualities, we will see clearly, spiritually speaking, on the journey. We will remember where we came from, being saved by grace, knowing how much we need God's grace every day. And we will see clearly more in the present as we look to the future of who we are in Christ and what the Christian life is supposed to be about. That Christ has saved us for this, And He is coming back one day to finish the job in perfection and deliver us. So therefore, knowing who we are now in the present, that our Christian lives, we know what God has done for us in the past. We know what our lives are to be about in the present as we look to the future. We know where to walk in humility. We know how much we need to grow in His grace. How much we need those godly qualities to be added in our lives. If we really see the gospel as we should, then we'll see this and we'll continue to walk in humility and depend on Christ, and we'll grow and we'll see clearly. When we know what we've been saved from and what we are saved for, it changes us. We're saved from sin and we're saved to be with God in perfection, transformed in holiness in perfection. And we know we need Him every day to grow in grace. We need Christ to work in us and change us and add these qualities into our lives. Well, that's just a bit of a review and seeing this in context. And before Peter, as we're going to see next Sunday, he's going to show us the foundation of the gospel, the Word of God, the eyewitness testimony of the apostles, a snapshot of this, and the foundation of what God's Word is all about, the foundation of God's truth that we can rely on completely. It is, as Peter says, not the word of men, but the word of God. As God led the prophets, God spoke, giving us His word. It's a light shining into this dark world for those who follow in it. And Peter will show us that. And so, before we get to that, and in between, after Peter has last week told us about the great promises we've been given, and that we're to pursue that and add to our faith and pursue Christ-likeness to grow in these qualities, we have these verses here. Interesting, just a few verses, and very relevant as we think about communion, but just generally in the Christian life. We have these verses 12 to 15, where Peter uses the word, you might have noticed, remember or reminder three different times. Verse 12, I will not be, he says, negligent to remind you of these things. Verse 13, as long as I am in this earthly tent, meaning obviously our earthly bodies, and Peter felt he was going to go soon, he said, I'm going to stir you up by reminding you. Verse 15, and I will be careful to ensure that you have a reminder of these things even after I die. So you get a bit of a theme there, right? With these verses here, these few that are kind of a transition text, if you will. In fact, all through this letter, in numerous places, Peter has been reminding us of the gospel. That's what he's already been doing. And he will give that call to remember, to not forget, at the very end of the letter. In fact, that's what he's been doing up to this point. He's reminding us of all we have in Jesus Christ. The power, the promises, how we're to pursue growing because we have so much in the gospel. We have everything. Peter has been reminding us of the need to grow because of the powerful gospel we've been saved by. What does Peter want to remind us of? What are these things? Well, of course, it's all that he's been talking about thus far. The most important truths of all that we have in Christ, the core gospel, about the need in light of that to grow, about those qualities of Christ-likeness that we're to add to, that we strive for that, that he's not going to stop talking about these things, the core of the gospel, because we need to remember. You say, well, why all the remembering? Why the reminding? Wouldn't we just say, hey, well, we've got that now. Let's move on. See, this is the problem. Wouldn't you agree that often the most important things are the most forgotten things? And this is the problem in the church a lot of times today. As I've heard somebody say years ago, we often have good forgetters disease. Many of us have good forgetters disease. And often wouldn't you agree that we'll remember the things we'd like to forget, but we fail to remember the things, especially when we need them the most, we fail to remember. And so Peter says, I remind you. And this is the thing. We got to get clear about the Christian life. And I know it sounds simple, but remember, it is a life. It's not ultimately facts. It's not ultimately going through rituals. It is a lifestyle. It is something that is to, the truth is to transform our lives. James says we're not to only be hearers of God's word, but doers of the word of God. Not to forget what he said to us, but to be blessed as we do it. And Christians have often been told, you know, I've heard this before, and I think it's a good way to gauge things. I've heard that truth before, preacher, but, you know, we need to be reminded. We can never be reminded enough. How do you look at those gospel truths when you hear them over and over? Why is this true? Because the goal is for the truths to be remembered so they'll be lived out, so that they become embedded in our lives, so that the truth becomes a part of us and changes us and is fleshed out in our living so that we apply God's word. The reality Peter wanted for believers then and today is that we will know the truth of the gospel so clearly it will be deeply embedded in us, and as we live as they did in a world of lies and false teaching and distractions and deception, we will know how to live. We will stand firm and we'll grow. We'll be Christ-like. And when the going gets tough, and when it is hard to make those right choices, Peter is calling us to persevere, to know deeply all we have in Christ, the truths that matter the most in the gospel, to remember them, to grow in Christ, and to keep growing till we go to the end. Steve Farrar, in his book, Finishing Strong, tells the story of a conversation that a young man, he was finishing uni years ago, and he was looking to seminary. And he had a talk with his future father-in-law who had been a pastor in the ministry. And this father-in-law-to-be pointed out about ministry. He said that just about 1 in 10 in ministry who start out as young men in full-time service for Christ at 21 years of age, about 1 in 10 are still on track statistically by the age of 65. This was shocking for this young man. So he went home, wrote down the names of 24 men at the time, young men, he knew, burning with passion for Christ. And later related that by the time he was 53, sure enough, there was only 8 of these men who were still in the ministry. So Peter is wanting to get across to us the reality of struggling with sin. Christians have a battle with sin. That's why he's been saying over and over to make the calling and election we have sure, to be diligent, to pursue godliness, because professing Christians can and will falter and stumble. And that's why we need to remember. That's why we need constant reminders from God's word about the core truths of the gospel, about its relevance for today. We need constant encouragement from the gospel on things that we have probably already heard before. That's not even the point. Why? Because we forget. We get distracted because the truth is meant to change us. It's meant to be embedded in us and go deep down inside to do that work of transforming us. There's a football coach, I know you won't probably know his name, Vince Lombardi. He was a famous gridiron coach in America, known for giving this famous speech to his team as he held up the pigskin. That's what we call the ball over there sometimes. The old word for the football, the pigskin. And he held up the football and he said, "Gentlemen, this is a football." Sometimes we need that. The point is, the basics and remembering them, being reminded of the core truths, is essential to our growth, essential to us moving forward and our stability and standing for Christ over the long run. Mark Johnson tells when he was a trained pilot and he had to undergo repeated safety drills every time he got into the cockpit of a plane. It got boring. But he knew later it was vital in the training, which he was designed to get him, here's the thing, to react in the right manner in a mid-air crisis. He couldn't think about it. He had to be able to respond. The point is, the thing that mattered the most in that flight safety had to become second nature to him. And that's what happened through the repeated reminders. the repeated teaching. He had to be trained. He had to be reminded over and over. And then he had to be able to use those. That repeated exposure became important in an airplane, in a landing, in a matter of what could be life and death. He said, if faced with emergency, that repeated training would help me to respond the right way in the heat of the moment for a safe landing. See, for us as Christians, it's even more important. It's eternity hanging in the balance. It's life. And then we know we're saved. We rest in that assurance, but it's also how God changes us to impact others. It's heaven or hell. It's life or death. Is our calling and election sure? Are we growing? Are we standing firm in the storms of life? Will we in the future? Will we be able to stand and grow and be courageous for Christ when the battle really heats? Our landing in the end, so to speak, our finish is founded on remembering the gospel. Not just knowing a little bit about it or thinking, hey, well, I've heard that. But knowing it, being reminded of it and remembering it is essential for that to happen, for us to grow, for us to stand firm and mature. It's only as we're drilled in the core truths of Jesus that we'll avoid more and more of the tailspins of doubt and the problems and distractions that are all around us. We know it's true with athletes too, don't we? If they want to be successful in something, they have to practice something over and over. That basics of that basketball shot. I've been shooting for many, many years, and they have to still be remembered and worked on at times. You can't overthink it, but you have to do it. If you're going to be successful, you don't just say, well, I know this. Do you really know it? Is it going to be used? And that's just a sport. And a great coach knows it. They know the good athlete has to execute the fundamentals consistently over time. And the thing is, Christians, we can complain, can't we, at times? Well, I want to have more of a greater spiritual experience or even more depth, which is not a bad thing to do. But we've got to remember the heart of the faith and remember our calling. Warren Wiersbe said one time he received letters from listeners who got upset when he was repeating things on the radio where he preached the gospel on that show. But he wrote back to them and reminded what Paul said. He said, Paul said, to write the same things to you, to me indeed, is not grievous, he told the Philippians. But for you, it's a safety. So we need to remember, don't we? Johnson said, no matter how long a person has been a Christian, they are never too old to be reminded of the core truths. And don't we do this as we come to the Lord's Supper? We remember, don't we? It's an object lesson. Jesus said, do this in remembrance of me so we won't forget those core truths. You know what Martin Lloyd-Jones, he said, the ultimate thing of which the Bible always reminds us is the greatest, most vital thing in the world is to know Jesus Christ. And we must never forget that ultimate truth. That's what we do when we take the Lord's Supper. That's what we do when we look to the gospel and the truth of the Word. We remember His sacrifice. We remember His rising up again. And that everything, it transforms every other part, he says, of our lives and our death. So again and again, we're to come, don't we? We come to the table. We remember He is our salvation. We remember the bedrock of our salvation and all Christ has done. And we need to remember that when we come to God's Word, when we get impatient maybe with hearing basics or being reminded of things, how important that is. Again, Martin Lloyd-Jones said, the business of the church and preaching is not to present us with new and interesting ideas, but to go on reminding us of the certain fundamental eternal truths of the gospel. How are you at remembering? What are some truths as we prepare to come to the Lord's Supper in a few moments that help us remember, help us to remind others? These core truths we see here that help us grow, help us remember the gospel, remind others of the gospel. Three things. We're going to live with urgency, love with encouragement, and leave a legacy of faith. Three truths, I think, with some applications here we're going to look at. Number one, live with urgency. And I think we see it there in verse 12. We live with urgency. The first response to the gospel that helps us to remember it and remind others of the truth so we're built up is live with urgency. And it's similar to what Paul said in Ephesians 5, that we are to make the most of every opportunity for the days are evil. See, Peter, when he writes this, is older. He's in his earthly tent, he says. He's about to pass on, and he senses the importance of making the most of the opportunities that he has to teach the people about Christ. So he says, for this reason, what is he saying? Because of the transitory nature of life, because Peter is feeling personally his time is coming in this world to go, and he's focused on the greatness of the gospel. He wants them to see it. For this reason, Peter seeks to remind them because of the greatness and glory of the gospel, because of the possibility of them forgetting it, that they would be nearsighted spiritually, as he said earlier. Peter will not be negligent to remind them always. Being negligent, we know that points to overlooking something important that you have to do. It's not an overt sin, more of a subtle thing. But Peter saw this was serious. I will not be negligent to do that. We can think of negligent drivers, people who don't do due diligence or duty of care in Australia. We would say, Veerman said, because of the glories awaiting them, Peter intended to keep on reminding them not to allow salvation to become a license for immoral living or rest content in their knowledge of Jesus without obeying it, without applying it. He wouldn't let them forget. Do you sense Peter's urgency here? See, we grow in that urgency as we live with the reality of what really matters. As we're deepening the gospel, as we sense where we're going and what matters for eternity and how that limits our time here. I remember this guy years ago, he wrote this book where he chronicled his last month or two of living. I think it was called One Month to Live. It makes a point of how we look at things. And I believe also related to the trials they were facing, the false teaching. There's an urgency Peter has, just as with true with us today. Peter reminds them, as we need to be, so we will be deepened in Christ, so we will apply the gospel as we live in a world of deception and distractions and false ideas, so we'll be stabilized in Jesus as we grow up in Him spiritually. That's Peter's point here. This takes remembering. This takes being reminded. Not just hearing and I've got it in my head and I know. This takes being encouraged in it. This is what you need to do to grow. How does it really apply? Why does it matter? So that we're strong in Him. And there was an urgency that Peter has in this as he faces the end of his life. He wants to remind them. And he knew persecution was increasing externally, and there was false teaching that was growing internally. And he wants them to be strong in the basics, to be built up and have stability in the core ideas of the gospel truth. His goal is that they'll continue to remind themselves of these truths as well, being established. Remember, we read in Luke 22 a little while ago, Jesus told Peter the enemy sought to sift him, and Jesus prayed for him that he would be stabilized. Luke 22. He would be strengthened. And then Jesus said Peter would then strengthen the brothers. And that's what Peter's doing now. This is what pastors who preach, others who teach the gospel are called to do. But especially the pastor, I believe. One of the prime functions we have as ministers is to keep the basic facts of the truth and the gospel and how that affects our lives before the people. So, I mean, you can look at the surveys how Christians forget the key things and often live sometimes the way non-Christians do. And a big part of the problem is Christians need to be reminded. We tend to forget, don't we? Someone said part of the problem is we forget or we ignore the truths we've learned or practiced or preached in the past. And with the passing of time, even those great truths and great stories can lose in our mind their newness. And the things of the world can start to shine brighter in our mind and distract us. But this is why we need to be preached to. This is why we need to be reminded. To see the truth and how it affects our lives where we are from the gospel. And it takes reminding. People can lose their passion and their love, as we see from the church at Ephesus in Revelation. And people don't keep the gospel as priority the way they used to. So Peter is concerned that we'll forget and that they would forget. And then we'll stumble along the way. Reminds me of this guy who was waiting to play golf. There's a story here. And he was close to being blind, this old guy. And he was by himself one day on the golf course, and this other guy walked up and he said, "Well, I'll play with you. You know, my vision is about 20/20 almost. My memory's not the best." And so they started out, got to the first hole, and the nearly blind guy swung. I mean, great shot off the tee, but he couldn't see it. He's asking the 20/20 vision guy, you know, "Well, where did it go?" He said, "Oh yeah, I've got it, he said. And so, "Well, where is it?" He said, "Well, I had it, but I forgot." And that's part of the problem, man. See, both problems happen to Christians who are not constantly reminded. They don't see either. Peter has talked about that before. The two things go together. When we don't remember, we don't see. We don't see, we don't remember. And this is the urgent need for stability Peter's getting at here. He said, "I won't be negligent to remind you." Here's what Peter said, didn't he? Even though they knew, he said, "This, I'm not telling you anything you haven't already heard. You're established in the truth, but you need to be built up in it." We should never think we're so strong in our faith that we could never slip, we could never fall away into sin and worldly thinking and drift away. We can never get like that. We have to constantly remember the gospel, don't we? And we need those truths reminded, or brought before, so we remember of all Christ has done and who we are in Him and what our Christian lives are to be about. I remember reading about the structural stabilities needed for these skyscrapers as they go up higher and higher. You know, they wobble a certain amount, but they're trying to keep the wobbling down as it's up there in the air. I mean, if you've ever been on one of those up high, you know what that's like. And Peter seems to give this picture a bit of structural engineering here. Every good structural engineer realizes the value of a solid foundation. But also, that's what they call vertical stability. But there's also horizontal stability. As the building keeps going up, 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 and there's winds, and there's things that can blow it around, there has to be strength horizontally as it goes up higher. Not just the foundation. He's saying that's what Peter's wanting us to grow in, so that we'll be strong in Him. "For this reason, I'll not be negligent," verse 12, "to remind you, though you know and are established in the present truth." He is concerned about those things that come around. Just like a building, as it gets higher and higher, we'll face more of the winds and the force of things that can happen. As we grow up in Christ, as we grow, move forward in Christ, will we mature and add these things to our faith so that we'll be strong and be able to withstand those storms, withstand those problems? So Peter is wanting us to continue to grow in that. Helm said, "Christians who have a faith that flourishes finish well and will be those who dig deeper but also find ways to resist the winds of change coming against them as they go higher and build stronger in Jesus Christ." That's what we have to do. Keep adding to our faith. If we're going to keep adding to our faith like Peter's told us before, we've got to be reminded. We've got to be encouraged in that, to keep growing in the truth. That's why Peter's reminding them of this. Lucas said, "For Christians, the danger of wobbling still remains, and we should check out those telltale signs in our Christian lives." Number two thing here is love with encouragement. Verse 13. The second response to the gospel we see here, Peter tells us in verse 13, is to love with encouragement. This helps us to remind one another, to remember the gospel. The second principle is in this context, again, of Peter living with urgency. He knows his time is coming to a close, and he wants to build them up. And he is reiterating this, that his life is like life in a tent, his earthly life. And before he leaves that tent, he wants to use the time he has to encourage them in love, to remind them of the gospel. And so he tells them that in verse 13, how he would stir them up through reminding them. You see that? "Yes, I think it is right, as long as I'm in this tent, to stir you up by reminding you. And Peter seems to say that out of the love of God, his goal was to refresh them, to stir them up before he dies, to arouse them, to stir their memories. We're talking here, of course, about encouragement, how that is needed in the body of Christ. This is through the reminding we do of ourselves, to ourselves, but also to one another. As we reach out, as we wake each other up, as we refresh each other to the truth when we need it the most often. This is what we do in the church. See, in application, this stirring up, this encouraging in love can be done for ourselves. We stir ourselves up, but also stirring one another up as we look to the truth. First, let's talk about stirring ourselves up. How do we encourage ourselves, refresh ourselves to remember God's Word? I think that's an application here. Dietrich Bonhoeffer, he pictures temptation this way. I think it's a good quote. He said, "When lust takes control at that moment in temptation, God loses all reality in our mind. The enemy does not fill us with hatred of God, but with forgetfulness of God." Haven't you found that's often true when you fall into temptation and you give into a particular struggle with a sin you have that you struggle with? You lose sight in that moment. You forget who He is, all we've been given in Christ, what matters the most, what God's Word says about it. You forget. And we often don't stand firm because we forget the Word of God in that time. So how do we do this? Well, we know Jesus gives the example, doesn't He, in the desert when He was tempted? He remembered the Word of God. He quoted it. He knew it inside and out. And so as we meditate on God's Word, we're able to use it. We're able to bring it to mind. We're able to use it like the sword of the Spirit, as Paul said in Ephesians 6, and put it to use. But the problem is often we have not been reminded or reminded ourselves enough, and so that the Word is not deeply embedded in our hearts and our minds, and we tend to forget. This is why, you know, God told the Jews over and over to do things to remember. The Sabbath, the Passover, God's Word, in so many ways they were to remember it, to teach it to their children over and over so they wouldn't forget. So we need to do that. See, the enemy is always trying to get us distracted, caught up in our passions, forgetting who God is and what we have in Christ and what His truth says about life and that situation, so that we'll seek the flesh and live for the world, and we forget all that we have and the beauty and the joy that we have in Jesus Christ. You think about a sin you've struggled with recently. If you had realized, really realized, as is true, that Jesus is there with you, would you have done it? Would you have struggled with it? Would you have said that about that person? Would you have committed that sin? Would you have gone in that direction if you knew and remembered who He is, and that He's with you, and that He loves you, and that he's what His Word says about that situation? See, there is a clear and present danger to forget God, but remembering His truth helps us remember His power, His presence. See, as one man said, forgetting is the beginning of disobedience. Just like the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. When we forget, we begin to stop fearing God and stop fearing sin. And then we can fall away. And we need to remember that, don't we? Like one man said, this book, the Bible, will keep you from sin, or sin will keep you from this book. Psalm 119:11, David said, "I have hidden your word in my heart that I may not sin against you." Secondly, we stir each other up as we reach out, as we encourage one another. Hebrews 10:25 reminds us that we're not to give up the habit of meeting together. As we see the day of Christ approaching, what do? We meet together and we spur one another on towards love and towards good deeds. We tend to forget, don't we? But we can encourage one another in those issues and problems as we remember the Word of God, as we remind one another of the Word of God. And yes, we need to be loving in that, but we actually help each other out if we do it out of love. As we are reminded of Christ and what really matters, as we come together in worship, in fellowship, in one-on-one situations, as we disciple other Christians. And think about what Peter is doing here himself. He knows they've already heard these truths. He says it. I'm not telling you something you don't already know, but I'm going to remind you. He knows they need to apply the gospel in that situation to be strong in Christ, and it needs to be a timely word in that situation so they'll be able to remember and stand in Christ in that time, and He's going to remind them. He's going to encourage them. The proverb says, like apples in settings of silver, so is the timely word. Will God use us more and more to come into people's lives, Christians, and remind them of the truth when they need it the most? Often remembering God's word on time, as we remind ourselves and remind others, is key to standing firm and living in obedience. So we need to remind one another. We don't want to be like these students I read about. They knew their English professor was forgetful. He showed up one day late for the class. He had left the quizzes in the car. And what did those students do in uni? They said, they insisted that he go get those quizzes because they knew he was forgetful. And he walked back to his car, beginning to think about his research, forgetting the nature of all what he was doing. And he jumped in the car. He forgot all about the class and went home for lunch. Well, they knew. Yeah, go get the quizzes, professor. But we remind each other, don't we? Because we're forgetful, aren't we, with God's word? And we need memory aids. And we can be memory aids to one another in love as we look to God's word. And that leads me finally, as we close, to this last one, 14 to 15. And that's leave a legacy of faith. Briefly here, this final response I think we see here, as we remember and remind one another of the gospel, this great gospel we've been given in Jesus Christ, is leave a legacy. He says, knowing shortly I must put off my tent, just as our Lord Jesus showed me, moreover, I will be careful to ensure that you always have a reminder of these things after my decease. So there's different views on what Peter was dealing with or saying here, and how he would ensure them after he died that they would remember the gospel here. Obviously, Peter is sensing the urgency of what his life has been about and the impact that his life will have for the gospel once he dies. Will they remember? Will those he've impacted in this situation carry on with it? Some think this refers to just his continuing impact of his ministry once he died. Some think this refers to this letter, 2 Peter. I tend to not think so, because then he wouldn't be the author. Someone else would have written it. Many think Peter could have been referring to the Gospel of Mark. A lot of people think that. I tend to think that is probably at the heart of what Peter is saying, because we know the connection. We know that connection Peter had with Mark. He may have been talking about the Gospel of Mark, but I'm not so sure it matters in the emphasis of what Peter is saying here. Because Peter, what he's ultimately doing is pointing out the power of a godly legacy, the need for the truth about Jesus to be passed on to generation to generation. Because brothers and sisters, we are like relay runners for eternity. With the gospel in our hands, it is essential that we seek to communicate the gospel in word and deed as clearly as we can to those who are close around us. I know they have to receive it, but our responsibility is to communicate it through word and deed so they will hear it, remember it, and they will be able then to remind others who will then remember it as the gospel carries on. Paul said the same thing to Timothy, 2 Timothy 2:2. Entrust to those reliable men who will be able to pass the gospel on to the next generation. The gospel is the power of salvation. These precious promises of God. It's the eternal thing. It's the most important thing. And so, how is it going to be seen in our lives? How is it shared in our lives? How is it going to be remembered as we leave a legacy of faith to people in the church and the next generation, but our own families as well? That's the question I think this text implies to us, puts before us. How do we leave a godly legacy so they'll remember the gospel? It'll be passed on after we're gone. We need to reflect as we come to the Lord's Supper. That's what we do, don't we? That's one key thing we do. We reflect on the truth. As we come to God's word, as we come to communion, We're reflecting, aren't we? We're thinking about the gospel. But we also do this as we talk to people about the gospel. We keep the gospel and Jesus at the forefront. And we can do this in our families too. When we talk about Christ to our children, to our grandchildren, we keep Christ there. We reflect on Him. Number two, we rest in Him. And isn't that what we're doing as we come to the Lord's Supper? We are resting in His grace and nothing else in ourselves. But we also want to communicate that resting in Jesus to those around us. That we have a blessed assurance in Jesus and we know who we are in Him. We know where we're going. We can also record things as we pass on a legacy of faith. As we write things down, as we give Bibles, as we keep scrapbooks that have important things of what we've done in our Christian life to pass on, to keep the gospel before them, the next generation. And then finally, we rely. Rely on Christ as you live for Him and you live for eternity. As we give to Jesus and use what God has given us for His glory, that speaks to people around us as to what matters and what our lives are about. As we talk about God in our will, as we have a Christian funeral and plan and know what that's going to be about, all of these things, and there's many others, paint a picture of the gospel we hold dearly. Let's turn to the Lord now as we come to the Lord's Supper. Gracious Lord, we come before You today. We're thankful for our salvation in Christ. Lord, that we're encouraged in those things, Lord, through Your Word, and that we can come together and remind one another, Lord. And we know we're reminded of this great truth, the gospel, as we come to the Lord's Supper today. Build us up, Lord, as we come and partake. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.